It is often misunderstood as sort of a to-do list for women.
Deaconess Elizabeth Ullman, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Or something that we have to strive to be, and it's very often pulled out of its moorings. It's pulled out of its context and not really put into the context of the rest of the Book of Proverbs.
Learn more about Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman at issuesetc.org.
Is being gay a perversion?
Senator, I'm going to give you the same answer I just gave you previously. My respect for every individual, regardless of their sexual orientation, is the same.
You name me any person who is against us today, I want to say that person is not our permanent enemy. That's a precious human being made in the image and likeness of God, someone who's got a conscience that we can appeal to somewhere in there, and our job should be to win him or her over.
You might have a terrible pharmacist, but the antibiotics are still going to cure the infection. And the same thing with church. The sacraments and the word and all the blessings that we receive from Christ through his church, those are too precious. Those are too valuable to give up, even though you've been wrong.
This is Bill, the bug guy, and I love listening to Issues Etc. every day while I spray bugs.
It created a lot of buzz in social media. The New Yorker had a column on, of all things, Chick-fil-A, another one going in New York City. They have been slowly building and acquiring properties there. They want to get in on what is the, well, the city that if you want to eat, that's where you want to go. Chick-fil-A wants some of that business. Chick-fil-A does business in a way that seems really odd to a lot of people and may seem very, very odd to New Yorkers. Well, the column itself was about Chick-fil-A's creepy infiltration of New York City. Did the column get Chick-fil-A right? Did it get New York City right? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio on this Thursday afternoon, April the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly is going to join us here for the first half hour or so. We're going to be talking about that New Yorker column on Chick-fil-A in New York and the chicken fast food chain. Ariel Davidson will join us after that at the Hoover Institution. We'll talk about a new study on a correlation between religious faith and involvement and academic achievement among high school kids. Islam and the Enlightenment will be the subject with Dr. Alvin Schmidt. He's written a book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. And then Pastor Ted Geese joins us to talk about the Marvel movies. Another big one is coming out this weekend, Infinity War Part 1. We will talk about those movies, the universe that is, well, at least that universe, of superhero movies with Pastor Ted Geese in the last half hour. Feel free to join us with questions or comments or call in number 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a New Yorker column, Chick-fil-A's creepy infiltration of New York City, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
You say that in some ways the column in the New Yorker gets both Chick-fil-A and New York City wrong. How so?
Well, first of all, let's turn that around and deal with New York City first before we get to Chick-fil-A and how, quote-unquote, New York has reacted to Chick-fil-A. When you hear people who really, really hate New York and they start talking about New York, who or what to those haters, what is a New Yorker?
A New Yorker is a insulated, probably liberal, lives in a high-rise, thinks New York is basically the only place, only civilized place in the United States, if not in the world, and generally is telling you that at every cocktail party.
And in every other thing about how they live their lives. It was summed up by that famous, you know, View from New York cover on The New Yorker, which showed, you know, New York City and then there was like this huge desert. And in the middle of the desert, there was a little bitty thing sticking up that was the Arch of St. Louis. And there were a couple of dried out cow skulls. And then way off in the distance, there was this thing called L.A. And that was their view of the rest of America. And, of course, that was the New Yorker satirizing the New Yorker in some way. Well, this is the big irony of me about this Chick-fil-A thing. To some degree, the author of the Chick-fil-A column, and it's very much an opinion column, not so much a reported. It's one of those things where somebody went there, they sat in the room for 30 minutes, they looked at the things hanging on the wall, and that made them an expert on Chick-fil-A, plus what they could find through a search engine. The author of that piece has almost exactly the same view of New York as New York haters. He kept saying over and over, New York is offended by Chick-fil-A. We are offended. This is the sort of thing that has upset us so much. And when he talks like that, he's assuming that there is one New York, right? That there is such a thing as a New York perspective on an institution like Chick-fil-A. Now, the irony is, in the piece I wrote about this, Forget Religion, I stressed right up front, first thing in the piece, first things first, I am not a New Yorker. I just live here, Lower Manhattan to be specific, 2+ months a year. Thus, I do not pretend to offer any special insights into the heart and soul of New York City. That was how I began my piece, because I didn't want people thinking I was claiming to be an expert on New York. But the very next thing I said, though, is that part of my job helping young journalism students from all over the country come and work in New York for a full semester is to encourage them to talk to New Yorkers. And I share a piece of advice from a friend of mine who is a long, long time New Yorker. And I think you and I have talked about this. His advice is never, ever think of New York as one place. If you try to think of New York City as one place, he said, your head will basically explode. It is way too complex to think that there is a New York. Park Slope in Brooklyn is not the same thing as living in the Bronx. Living in a blue-collar neighborhood in Queens is nothing like living on the Upper East Side or in a brand spanking new tower in Lower Manhattan. New York is a world made up of worlds. He encouraged me to get to know the actual institutions at street sidewalk level that real New Yorkers visit day after day after day. And with that in mind, if you ever visit New York, you quickly find out that it is a city full of hole-in-the-wall restaurants, which to me resemble the sorts of things that I encounter in small towns in the American South. These are places where when you walk in, they know your name like the fourth time you walk in. An individual neighborhood in New York City is a lot like a small town. Then there are fast food joints all over the place because New York is a busy place. Not everybody here has a lot of money to spend. In fact, a lot of New Yorkers that live way out in the outer boroughs and then come in by subway to New York City, they're pinching their pennies. So New York is an extremely complex place. In the midst of that, here comes Chick-fil-A. Now, Chick-fil-A is definitely a Bible Belt institution. It's also one that's famous for a number of things. It pays way higher wages than most fast food industry joints. They're famous for extremely deep research into who people that they sell their franchises to, because they want people that have lived in this community for a long time and are committed to the community in which they live. And yes, they don't open on Sunday. And they don't open on Sunday because they want their entire staffs to get to have an entire day off when it comes to building schedules for everybody, from the people at the cash register lines to the, you know, to the cooks or whatever. Everybody's going to get at least one full day off built into their schedule. And they do that, they say, because they want people to be able to have families and have some way to live a sane life. The fast food industry in America is not exactly known for the sanity of its working conditions. That's a great understatement. And, of course, that means that the family that built this thing are very conservative Bible Belt Christians. And the family's private foundation has donated a lot of money to groups that we used to just simply call Christian parachurch groups, marriage ministries, focus on the family, groups that used to be considered normal, but now are semi-normal in parts of America. These groups are traditionally now referred to in major American media as anti-gay hate groups or anti-gay groups. So Chick-fil-A is controversial, even though, and I've done quite a bit of reading on this, I'm not aware that the Chick-fil-A Corporation has ever been accused of any form of discrimination. But this foundation of the private family has donated money. They also, though, have donated millions of dollars worth of free chicken sandwiches to all kinds of people, from progressive causes such as the Girl Scouts to conservative causes. And most famously, they made headlines at the time of the Pulse nightclub massacre in Orlando, where the Orlando Chick-fil-A's that were near the nightclub were encouraged to open on Sunday for the expressed purpose of making sandwiches to take to the people who were lined up in the hot sun to donate blood to help save the lives of people wounded during the massacre at the gay nightclub in Orlando. And they delivered all-you-could-eat chicken and lemonade, if I remember correctly, to anybody who was standing up in the long lines to donate blood that day. So Chick-fil-A is a controversial group. But in another circle, like Hobby Lobby, they're also known as a kind of an enlightened institution in terms of how they treat their staff. None of that makes it really into this piece. This was an opinion piece that struck me. Well, as I was reading it, you know what it really reminded me of? This reminded me of something like a fundraising letter you would get from a right-wing political campaign, only turned in reverse. I mean, this could have been a fundraising letter from Liberty University. It was so preaching to the choir in its tone. When I first got halfway in it, I honestly for a moment thought it was satire. It was just that wild, especially this guy's obsession with the cows. I never had thought of the cows as being symbols of evangelical onslaught on another culture. If anything, I think of the Chick-fil-A cows as kind of Darwinian. They're just, you know, survival of the fittest, and they've learned PR skills that help them survive in their battle with chickens. So not only was this piece anti-New York and anti-Chick-fil-A, I thought it was, in a bizarre sort of way, anti-Darwin. Does that make any sense at all?
Terry Mattingly is our guest. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with him about the New Yorker column, Chick-fil-A's Creepy Infiltration of New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all 6 Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382. And answer the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll talk with Terry Mattingly of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate about a New Yorker column on Chick-fil-A's so-called creepy infiltration of New York City. What do you think would have improved this? I agree. When I first read it, I was convinced it was satire. And I thought, okay, a bunch of people are being taken in by something. Then I actually went to the New Yorker site and read it myself and checked to see if it wasn't, you know, some sort of fake thing. Because it's kind of over the top. It read like someone who was being intentionally over the top or trying to you know, make people laugh. Since we know it's not satire or humor, that it was actually meant in seriousness, what would have improved this to actually talk about Chick-fil-A, its values in a place like New York City?
I have to admit, man, I thought I'd lost you there for a second. I don't mean lost the signal. I thought I had finally launched myself out of Twilight Zone and lost the lost you with the logic of what I was saying. This thing really made me mad on a journalistic level. Because you know what? There may be significant numbers of people in this town at the level of New York politics and other stuff like that who may genuinely be trying to limit Chick-fil-A's efforts to build a lot of stores in this town. Now, this new store is extremely symbolic. It's the biggest Chick-fil-A in the world. It's 5 stories tall. They want it all the way to the roof line, and because of what lies between them and the World Trade Center, there can be nothing built between them and there that block them of having this beautiful rooftop deck view of the World Trade Center. So it's very much now a part of Wall Street area culture in Lower Manhattan. This happens to just be a block from where I live when I'm in New York in terms of the residence hotel where I live. So this is my neighborhood. I mean, and the lines have been long. The people are lining up. They loved it. The first couple of days, the lines were going around the block. Chick-fil-A is a huge success here. Now, the question is whether or not the city will continue to cooperate with the building of future Chick-fil-A's. So, is there a journalism story related to the politics of Chick-fil-A? I think there is. And I think it would be very interesting to know what Chick-fil-A is doing to try to be as involved in New York culture, charity, children's work, etc., as they are in other markets. In other words, is Chick-fil-A experiencing the freedom to try to be as active in community life in New York as they are elsewhere? But do you see that that's a story that you would actually have to do reporting on? And you would actually have to talk to people on the left and the right? And you'd have to talk to people in New York City government and maybe even zoning commissions and stuff. In other words, that's a journalism story. What ran in the New Yorker was, like I said, it's not journalism. It's more like a fundraising letter to stereotypical New Yorker readers. And I don't even think they've got the New Yorker reader crowd right with this one. I know all kinds of people who read New Yorker, and most of the ones I know were as appalled by this mess as anybody else was. There's another journalism story hiding in this. New York is certainly known as one of the foodie capitals of the world. I mean, in terms of people who live to eat wonderful, high-end, you know, $650 for a piece of uncooked fish on a wafer from France surrounded by greens, kind of as a food with just the right sauce. I mean, this is a high-end, elite, cultured food town. But that's just part of New York. Then there's hot dogs and multiple thousand food carts and trucks in the city. By the way, a high percentage of which are run as halal food carts by Muslims. I wondered out loud in my piece, I wonder if this guy at the New Yorker is upset about thousands of Muslim food carts as he is about three Chick-fil-A stores. I predict he isn't. You could have written an interesting cultural piece of journalism about the tensions in New York between fast food culture and elite high-end restaurant culture. Because, frankly, you walk the streets of New York, the fast food culture, both local and national, is everywhere. It's a town that lives on its feet, and a high percentage of these people cannot afford to live on Manhattan. They're zooming into the city on trains and subway, and they're walking around looking for food to eat, and a lot of the times they're looking for inexpensive. And that is has just as much or more to do with New York culture as, I don't know, HBO, Sex and the City goes out for dinner on Friday night. So there were plenty of journalism stories that could have been written about the symbolic arrival of Chick-fil-A as America's fastest rising and most profitable food chain. And yes, there's a religion angle to that as well. Last night at Chick-fil-A, the line was finally down enough for me. I got into the Chick-fil-A last night, and at one point had a chance to sit around and talk to an entire table of, without exception, young African-American and Latino workers in this Chick-fil-A. They, of course, had not read the New Yorker piece, because even though they're New Yorkers, they don't read the New Yorker. And they were just totally mystified that anybody could be threatened by Chick-fil-A. I mean, it's a chicken sandwich, right? The reality is that this column was not about being threatened by Chick-fil-A. This column was about fear of evangelical Americans. But that's a fear that, frankly, not all New Yorkers have, and I'm sure different New Yorkers, if they have it for different reasons, and it has nothing to do for many of them with being scared of a chicken sandwich.
So I'm going to relay to you my experience with Chick-fil-A, and I am aware of its ownership. I'm aware of the foundation. I am aware of the kind of political football that it has been from time to time, especially.
Like Hobby Lobby.
Sure. Yeah. I'm aware of all those things. But for me, the experience is as a customer going through the drive-thru. That's not going to be New York because they don't have drive-thrus in New York, but in the Midwest, we've got drive-thrus. And this is my experience. It starts with remarkable customer service, so above and beyond what you expect at any drive-through. You walk away saying, what did I just experience? The kind of customer service where it's fast, it's good, it's hot, and they're friendly. They're not stupidly friendly. It's not Disneyland, but they are friendly and they're conscientious, and the food is addictive. You mentioned most profitable fast food chain. These people know how to sell food. They know how to do it so that people walk away and want to come back. That seems to me the kind of business you want in New York City.
Well, and also, they have a track record for becoming significantly involved in their communities, which to this writer was a threatening thing. In the rest of America, that isn't a threatening thing. These are the people who are handing out free chicken sandwiches at your kid's softball championship, right? Because that's what Chick-fil-A does. They show up in the most bizarre places like, hey, let us donate the food to help make this event work. And that's become a part of their brand, of their modus operandi, their, you know, of how they work. My biggest beef with Chick-fil-A is they don't cook, they don't make anything I can eat in Lent. You know, there for a while they experimented with fish sandwiches and it just didn't work. You could tell their heart wasn't in it. But, you know, I'd love to have something at Chick-fil-A I could go eat, you know, during Lent. But, you know, I only get to go to Chick-fil-A as Orthodox Christian about half the year in terms of when we're eating meat. But I don't know anybody in the South who doesn't view Chick-fil-A as kind of a business that everybody looks up to their business model. Let me just share one other to show that I'm not prejudiced. Another food company that does a remarkable job of teaching their corporate culture is Five Guys. I don't know if you've eaten at Five Guys, but
oh, yes.
Five Guys has a very uniformly high-end, wonderful culture as well, at least in places where I've been. And out west, this is what In-N-Out is. In-N-Out has the same reputation for culture that you would hear associated with Chick-fil-A. But once again, In-N-Out is controversial and controversy in California because that's another Christian company. Bible verses inside the soft drink cups, you know, all that sort of objectable stuff. So to some degree, if In-N-Out starts spreading, I thought it was very significant that In-N-Out, which dominates fast food in parts of California, did you notice where the only state that In-N-Out has decided to move into? Have you noticed where they've gone?
No.
Texas. Now, do you think they chose Texas with an eye to the fact that they would be more culturally acceptable there?
Yes.
How many people in Texas are going to be offended by the occasional Bible verse inside their Coke cup?
They're not even going to notice it.
Nope. And if anything, they're going to notice it, and the entire youth group is going to be showing up the next 5 weeks in a row. But that's Texas culture. But see, did I just paint Texas as all one place? Well, I kind of did. Did this guy paint New York as all one place? All I'm saying is, yes, there were very interesting stories that could be written about New York and Chick-fil-A. And this guy basically, as I told a friend, haters got to hate, eaters got to eat. I mean, this guy just, he was preaching to his choir, to put it in Southern terms. That's all this was. It was like a fundraising letter from Liberty University. There was no attempt at complexity. It was, here come the bad guys, let's get them.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about something that Terry has raised for us, and that is there are now prominent examples, extremely successful examples, of Christians going into business and not using their values as an excuse to do business badly, but to do it very, very well. There's a story there. We'll be right back.
What we need to know about Islam is that it's the world's fastest growing religion and the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
Hank Canagraph of the Bible Answer Man talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The current narrative is that if you tell the truth in this regard, well, you'll radicalize Muslims. But that's pure propaganda. What we need to do is wake up to the truth concerning Islam.
You can meet and hear Hank Canagraph making the case against Islam at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Terry Mattingly about a New Yorker column, Chick-fil-A's Creepy Infiltration of New York City. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, I think there's another story here, and it's actually a huge story. I'm sure someone's writing it, probably going to be written by Forbes or The Economist or something like that. And that is these largely Christian family businesses. The family's an angle here, too. You mentioned In-N-Out, Hobby Lobby, Chick-fil-A. They are wildly popular. They are expanding their business. And unlike, the guy who built my house 20 years ago, who had the Jesus fish on his pickup truck, kind of used his Christian values as an excuse for doing bad work, these people are using those Christian values as an incentive to excel in their business. That's another story.
Yeah, a journalistic angle on that is most of these companies, part of the reputation they're gaining is they're coming out of parts of America that are non-union, but they're paying probably not union-level wages, but they're paying way better wages than they have to exist. And they do that because they want to retain staff. They have learned that having a consistent, loyal staff who's been with the company for a number of years actively increases quality of service. And that's another factor. It's so ironic that Hobby Lobby has become known because of its involvement in the Supreme Court case linked to Obamacare. Down where I live in the Great Tennessee Valley and in the Smokies, Hobby Lobby is known as the place where if you get a full-time job, and they have more full-time jobs than most other sales companies in the region, because once again, they're trying to retain staff, that means you have benefits. While to some degree, the government tried to hold Hobby Lobby up as a place that didn't give you enough benefits because they didn't do certain forms of birth control or whatever, or fund abortion or transsexual surgery, or some of the things that they didn't want in their medical plans. Where I live, they're known for having medical plans. So many businesses in our world today are not letting anybody work more than 35 hours, because if they work more than 35 hours, they have to pay benefits. So at Hobby Lobby, they're famous for allowing you to have benefits, which I think is a very ironic kind of thing. When Hobby Lobby opened a store in my town, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, they had an open job fair at a local hotel. They were going to do it for one day. They ended up doing it for 2 days. And someone who went told me that there were at least 500 people lined up to apply for jobs at Hobby Lobby in Oak Ridge. That says something about the reputation of the company in terms of being a place to work, which is another issue that then helps produce better customer service and a more consistent product. So, yeah, there's a lot of religion angles to there. Paying $2 or $3 more than everybody else in town for ordinary work at a front cash register, why are they doing that? How does that represent the family's values just as much as all of the clocks with Bible verses on them that are for sale?
With only a minute here, Terry, you have mentioned several times that the New Yorker column is preaching to the choir. Just tell us, and obviously kind of a distorted view of what the average New Yorker, if there is such a thing, thinks and believes, but who does the author of that New Yorker column think the choir he's preaching to is?
Well, I mean, once again, I think his definition of who a New Yorker is very similar to the definition of who a New Yorker is among the people who hate New York and the rest of the company. I think he has a certain liberal Manhattan class, you know, not just Democrat, but liberal Democrat. I think he has a certain New Yorker in mind, which isn't fair. To the same degree that people who hate New York have a certain New Yorker in mind, and it's not fair when they do it either. People that live in Staten Island are not the same as people who live on the east side of Manhattan. People who live in Queens are not the same as people who live near Columbia University. This is an astonishingly, mind-bendingly complex place. And by the way, at the level of sidewalks and local places in the neighborhood, New York is as friendly a place as I've ever visited on the planet. Now, did that get into his story, too?
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate in the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, I'll talk with you next time.
Glad to.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Ariel Davidson. There's a new study out of Stanford University on religious involvement among young people and academic achievement. It proposes not only a correlation between the two, but perhaps even a cause. We'll find out how when we come back. Is the Proverbs 31 woman primarily a prescription of how to become a better wife, mother, woman, or friend? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Lutheran Elementary School Association is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During April, if you open a federal FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the Lutheran Elementary School Association. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This glorious good news is and always has been too good not to share. It compelled Peter, Paul, and the other apostles to the very ends of the earth, and it continues to drive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries even today. Learn more here in the April issue of The Lutheran Witness magazine. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.